So we're continuing our series today on cultivating gratitude. Woo, it's going to be a good one. I could feel God's hand on it all week. So I want you to do this. Put your hand on your heart and say, "Dear Jesus, I open my heart to receive anything you have for me today." Amen. Amen. So today's message is called The Recording. I had it last week. I think I told you it was going to be The Recorder, but I changed it this week to The Recording because we're not going to have an outline today. It's not going to be your typical Sandy message where I have all the points and subpoints and all that. Today, we're just going to look at the life of one person in the Bible that inspires me whenever I study him. And he really understood gratitude, but in a different sort of way. You're going to see. We'll get to it. So we're going to pick it up, the story, where the Israelites have come out of 400 years of slavery in Egypt, and they've seen God do some crazy big things like we talked about last week, right? By the way, did anybody do your homework and you really got blessed by it? I hope so. You don't have to raise your hands, but I hope so. I hope it was good about looking at what God has done, all the miracles in your life or others' lives. But now the Israelites have come to the land of promise. There's a lot of controversy about how much time took between their final day in Egypt and this day that we're going to look at. Some people say it should have taken about 11 days to do that, but some theologians say it was about a two-month journey because of all their stops. I don't know if it matters to our purposes, but I know this, it wasn't a long time in the grand scheme of things. And so they come to the land of promise, and I call it that because that's what had been called for a long time. We'll get to that a little bit more in a moment. But our passage picks up in Numbers 13, 1 and 2. I'm reading from the New Living Translation today. And it says this, "The Lord now said to Moses, send out men to explore the land of Canaan, the land I am giving to the Israelites. Send one leader from each of the 12 ancestral tribes." Here's what we need to know before we go any further. All 12 men that Moses chose, one from each tribe, had access to the same, what I'm calling, recording. And the recording was God's promise to give the land of Canaan to the Israelites. In fact, they had the same recording that was first promised to Abraham. You know how many years earlier? 754 years earlier. 754 years earlier, God had promised Abraham, when he said, "Go, leave your land to a land I'll show you." And then when Abraham got there to Canaan, God said, "This is it, but you're never going to own land here. You're going to be a foreigner here, but your descendants will." So that's how long ago this recording had been passed down from generation to generation to generation. Abraham first got it in Canaan, but then God assured him again when he said, "You're going to have more descendants than you can see in the stars," right? And then God told Jacob the same recording. He told Moses the same recording 400 years later. In fact, Moses' song of deliverance after the Red Sea actually reiterated this recording saying, "We're going to the land that God promised us." Okay? So it was a very well known. It was talked about on the lips of the fathers and the grandfathers and the great grandfathers. It was talked about so that everyone should know this is the land that God has said will be ours, right? But as I was studying that this week, it's interesting because you know how you think something is true and maybe you've been taught that, but you just always function from that assumption. And my assumption was that when Moses sent out the 12 scouts or spies, that they broke up into pairs of two this way. I couldn't find any scriptural support for that. And I found myself wondering, seems to me if I was going into a foreign land, I would want to be with my friends, and make sure we were all kind of watching for each other. When two are sleeping at night, two are standing watch, and two are this, and two are that. So I kind of started wondering if maybe they all went together. And the reason that's important is because if they did stay together to explore the land, they all saw the same thing at the same time, but they came back with very different reports. So, just a consideration. There's no reason to suggest they didn't stay together. There's no reason to suggest they didn't break up. But it's just interesting. If it had been important that they went different ways, I think it would have been spelled out for us. So now I'm kind of making a different assumption about this passage. Now, so the 12, they explored for 40 days, and then they came back, and it says in verses 27 through 29 this. This was their report to Moses. Now, here the word there in that first phrase, it doesn't say who the there is. This was their report to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey, just like God said it would, right? In fact, here is the kind of fruit it produces, but the people are living there are powerful. It's not in this passage, but it's in the passage before. They had a single cluster of grapes that was so large, it took two men to carry it on one pole. Okay, it was definitely a bountiful country, right? Verse 28, but the people living there are powerful and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. The Amalekites live in the Negev and the Hittites, Jebusites and the Amorites, all big enemies, all big, like scary, big, scary enemies. Yep. Live in the hill country. The Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and the Jordan Valley. So, I believe that the 10 who came back with this report didn't have the recording. I mean, they had access to it, but they didn't either. They didn't believe the recording. And I believe there are people in this room that God has spoken promises over your life and you're having a hard time believing it. Keep playing the recording until you believe it. Keep speaking the truth that God has given you until you believe it. Or maybe they just didn't play it enough. Maybe they go, yeah, that's what Papa said, but I don't know if I believe it. Right? That's for them. I don't know if it was for us. I don't know how they could do that, having seen the Red Sea parted before their eyes, having seen water gush out of a rock, having seen anything that they saw. How, I mean, their enemies that they had been enslaved to for 400 years were giving them gifts of gold and silver as they left. This is not a natural occurrence, right? So maybe they just didn't recount, like we talked about last week, recounting the greatness of God. But you know what else I thought of this week? I thought, I wonder if they just discounted the recording because they couldn't accept that the land of promise would involve battles and not just blessings. And I wonder how many times in our lives we discount a promise because we think, oh, that's going to be too hard. That can't be from God. That's too hard. I'm going to have to fight. I mean, I don't know if I've ever taken new spiritual territory without a fight. Honestly, when I did that all-in group, you know, a couple months back, and we just finished 2 weeks ago, I fought. I felt like the forces of hell came against me to try to stop me from doing it. All of these things came at me that I can't even go into. But you see, whenever the enemy sends someone to attack, it's because he knows it's going to be good. So as I've lived in the Christian walk longer and longer, I begin to see that when I start getting pushback, I'm like, oh, I need to step into that more, not run away from it. Amen. I got to step into that because there's something there that God has for me that requires a battle. But when I get the battle won, it's going to be a promise with grapes the size that two men have to hold it. Seriously. So without the recording, they could see the benefits, but they had paralyzing fear with it. But now let's look at what Caleb said in verse 30. But Caleb tried to, he's the guy we're studying today, Caleb, by the way. Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Let's go at once to take the land, he said. We can certainly conquer it. You see, he had heard the recording enough and had spoken the recording enough that when he came to the promise, the land of promise, and he saw how amazing it was, he said, yeah, let's go. He was a man's man. I love that. My dad was a man's man. My brothers are like that. To me, that's very amazing. To see a man step into his manliness. I don't mean toxic stuff. I mean strength and courage. And that's what Caleb showed here. You see, only two of the men, Joshua and Caleb, came back with a faith-filled perspective. But we see Caleb's strong confidence here. Let's do it. Let's go at once, right? In fact, he had so much confidence that he went against the majority. The name Caleb, I found it interesting, can mean two different things. It can mean bold, impetuous, but it can also be the name of an animal meaning dog. Which one do you think he stepped into? Really? I feel like most all of us have an identity that's from God, and the enemy tries to give us a different identity. Dog, you can't do this. And you get to choose what you're going to step into. Am I going to agree with the enemy and give him space in my life to become a dog? No, I'm going to step into what God says about me, and I'm going to be bold for my faith. I'm going to be bold in my faith. Caleb is quoted here as being from the tribe of Judah. And you know what Judah means? You guys know. What? Praise. You know what? Praise gives you boldness. Because when you get your eyes off yourself and you start looking at the God who is and was and always will be, you get bold. And that's what happened with Caleb. It's interesting, too, that six different times in Scripture, it said of Caleb that he fully or wholeheartedly followed the Lord. Oh, I wish that was said about me six times by anyone. Like fully, wholeheartedly followed the Lord. I love that about him. This is what happened next in verses 31 through 33. But the other men who had explored the land with them disagreed. We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are. So they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. This bad report, okay? The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw were huge. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers, and that's what they thought too. Oh, there's so much in that. Oh, without the recording, we see intimidation. We see carriers of bad news and fear. And we see giants and grasshoppers. You've probably heard messages on this before, but I find it amazing that they were more impressed by the size of the enemy's strength than the strength of their God. That's what it comes down to. Their fear was so paralyzing, they felt the need to convince the crowd of hopelessness. And that's what fear does. Fear is not satisfied just to be alone. Fear wants to get as many people afraid as possible. That's what happens. And it was so paralyzing that when they looked at, they were literal giants, y'all. They weren't just, they were giants. literally, you know, think David and Goliath. They were literal giants, right? But when they looked at the giants, they go, oh, we're like grasshoppers compared to them. And that's what they think too. Because however we see ourselves is what we will assume other people see about us. So if you ever walk into a room and you think, they think I'm terrible, they think I'm this, and it's all bad stuff, you know what you're doing? You're revealing what you think about yourself. You're not revealing what they think about you. You're revealing what you think about you. I heard this lady one time, Wendy Backlund, she said she used to have that terrible. She would go into any kind of a situation, new social situation, and all these thoughts were bombard her brain. Like, they think you're fat, or they think you're too this, or they think you're that, or they think you're this, or they think you're too forward, or they think you're too shy. She said it was paralyzing. She would just shrink down to the size of a grasshopper, right? But then the Lord corrected her on it and said, I want to challenge you to stop believing lies. That's a big lie you're believing. So she said she made a decision to, before she would walk into a new situation, she would tell herself, these people are going to love me. They are really going to love me. And I might be this or that, but I have a lot to bring to the table, and I like to love people well. She said her whole world changed when she did that. She would walk in with confidence. She would walk in knowing who God said she was, not just what she heard here. But you got to get the recording. You got to get the promise of God. You have to believe what he said to have that. It's interesting because where stinking thinking led was the whole community. These 10 guys convinced almost 2 million people. Think about it. That it was so bad, they began weeping aloud all night long. And then the people stopped weeping and decided to revolt against Moses and Aaron. And then the people said, oh, if only we had died back in Egypt. They were literally wishing for death because they were so afraid of what the report without the recording said. But I found myself thinking this week, like, wait, they wish they were dead and they're so afraid because they don't want to go and fight giants and die? That's worst case scenario. Like, what? No. Then they started accusing God. Why did he bring us here just to die in battle? Then let's choose a new leader and go back to Egypt. That's what they said. Let's get a new leader and go back to slavery. What? That's where stinking thinking leads. But Caleb and Joshua, chapter 14, verses 7 through 9. Caleb and Joshua said to the people, the land we traveled through and explored is a wonderful land. And if the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us safely into that land and give it to us. It is a rich land flowing with milk and honey. Do not rebel against the Lord and don't be afraid of the people of the land. They are only helpless prey to us. Do you see the difference in the perspectives? Huge. They are only helpless prey. That giant, the bigger he is, the harder he's going to fall. They have no protection, but the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. With the recording, they said, God has given us this land. They had gratitude because they said, it's a wonderful land. This land that God promised us is amazing. He could have given us some terrible land. He gave us the best land we've ever seen. They saw the benefits combined with the belief to obtain. I love that they kept their confidence in God as central to the promise. Because some of us get so caught up in the promise, we forget about the one who gave the promise. Oh, God said I was going to be a recording star. You know, I've heard that more times than I can tell you in my life. And there is nothing wrong with that promise as long as you keep God central to the promise. If God thinks that's what's best for you and what's best for the world he created, then you will become that no matter what anybody says. But don't get so attached to the promise that you forget about the one who gave the promise. Okay? I'm going to make this happen. No, let God make it happen. They also had, you can see in verse 9, the wisdom to avoid rebellion and fear. And they kept God as bigger than the giants with the recording. God says about Caleb in Numbers 14:24. Can you imagine if this is what God said about you? Think about this. But my servant Caleb has a different attitude than the others have. He has remained loyal to me. So I will bring him into the land he explored. His descendants will possess the full share of that land. So where does this lead in Caleb's life? Well, 45 years later, we pick it up. Because the people listened to the 10 spies and not to the 2, God said, that's it. You're going to be punished. Anyone over the age of 20 is going to die in the wilderness. They're not going to be allowed to enter the promised land. But they finally got to enter. And Caleb says this. I love this so much. If this doesn't inspire you, check your pulse. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land of Canaan. So he was 40 when he went out to explore. I returned and gave an honest report, but my brothers who went with me, there they are, frightened the people from entering the promised land. For my part, I wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. So that day, Moses solemnly promised me, the land of Canaan on which you were just walking will be your grant of land and that of your descendants forever because you wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. Now, as you can see, the Lord has kept me alive and well as he promised for all these 45 years since Moses made this promise, even while Israel wandered in the wilderness. Today, I am 85 years old. Now, this was in a time when the average lifespan was 70, about 70. So he's lived well past what he should have been allowed to live. But listen to what he says. Is anybody here 85 years old? Because that's amazing. Not yet. Okay. Here's a goal. Here's a personal goal for you. In verse 11, he says, I am as strong now as I was when Moses sent me on that journey, and I can still travel and fight as well as I could then. Woo! Life goals. So give me the hill country that the Lord promised me. You will remember that as scouts, we found the descendants of Anak living there in great walled towns. You understand he's asking for the hardest battle. Can you please send me to the mountain where we saw the giants living? Because I got it in me to deal with those guys. Oh, I love him so much. I can't wait to meet him in heaven. So give me the hill country that the Lord has promised me. You will remember the scouts. We found the descendants of Anak living there in great walled towns. But if the Lord is with me, I will drive them out of the land, just as the Lord said. You see, with the recording, he had honesty. He still saw how good the land and how hard the battle was going to be. But he was wholeheartedly following the Lord God. He had longevity with the recording. He had longevity. He had strength. He had courage. He had inheritance to pass down to his children and his grandchildren. Oh, legacy to the next generation. Caleb did, in fact, conquer giants on that mountain. We don't know how long he lived. I couldn't find a record. I tried to search and I couldn't find it. But it's interesting because he did indeed pass that down to his kids and to his grandkids. And he conquered the giants who were living there before he did. And some of the neighboring tribes did not conquer their giants, and they battled with them for the next hundreds of years. But Caleb and his family got their portion, and they maintained it. Read about his life. I'm not going to go into it because of the time, but I want to have family communion because it's going to be good today. But it's interesting that because he had that recording on play all the time in his mind, God gave us this land. God gave me this land. God gave us this land. He's going to make it happen. He's going to help me fight these giants. He's going to show me how to battle. He did what he said he was going to do. But if you and I are going to cultivate gratitude, we need to access the recording God gives us. And there's so much. I didn't bring my Bible today. Hold up your Bible. There's the recording. That's the recording, right? So we're going to have family communion, but we're going to do something different today. Ushers, if you could begin serving. We're going to have a recording to go with family communion. I felt really strongly that God said, find a declaration for communion. And I'm like, we've never done that before. He's like, I know. And so I searched not too long and found a recording that I want us to use for family communion before the bread and before the juice. And we're going to read it together as if we were all Caleb. You got that? Don't read it like a grasshopper. Read it like Caleb would read it. That's our goal today. And it's going to be powerful, I know in my heart. And if you love the recording, I printed it up for you, actually, so you can take it home with you. We learned long before COVID we could do communion at home. And remember the whole month we did communion every day at home? So if you do communion at home, this is a great thing to read aloud when you do communion by yourself, okay? So, oh, guys, I need some. Sorry. I want some. Thank you very much. Okay, so here's the declaration before the bread. Read it like Caleb would read it. Ready? Dear Jesus, thank you for your broken body, which has fully demonstrated your unending love for me. Thank you, Jesus, for spoiling the principalities and powers of darkness and totally stripping them of all their authority to accuse me for sins that you have already been judged for. I praise you, Jesus, and celebrate the full benefits of your sacrifice, which includes healing and health for my body, soundness in my mind, and peace in my soul and spirit. Woo! Take the bread. By your spirit, that when we read these words, they become life to us. Because they're all true. And help us to make this our recording that we stand on and we believe in. Okay, declaration before the juice. It's a little longer. Stay with me. Stay strong. Don't get quieter as we go. Stay with it. Really. Sometimes you just got to tell yourself what to do. Dear Jesus, through the symbol of this shed blood, I choose to renew my faith and trust completely in what you accomplished for me at the cross and not in my own actions or abilities. Thank you for unclogging the rivers of your living water within me. By faith, I release forgiveness to myself and everyone who has ever hurt me. If I have any bitter roots towards anyone, I thank you for the power of your endless life to help me forgive and be healed. Jesus, thank you for freeing me from whatever deposits were made in my soul that were not from you. By faith, through the blood of Jesus, with an act of my will, I choose right now to loose any darkness, any addiction, any anger, any fear, anything of the enemy, regardless of how it got there. Leave my soul now in Jesus' name. Woo, let's take the juice. If that doesn't get you all Caleb'd up, I don't know what will. Whew. One more declaration, just as powerful but shorter, after taking both. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for invading my life and family with the life of Jesus through his blood and this communion time. I am covered. I am forgiven. I am cleansed. I am saved and being saved. I am sanctified and becoming sanctified. Hallelujah! Woo! Man, we got some people with the spirit of Caleb in them today. I can tell. Powerful. So, Andy, would you take these and stand at the back as people are leaving? If they want one, have them take one. Perfect. Thank you. Okay. I want to pray over the offering before we dismiss too. Thank you, Lord, for all those who are bringing their gifts, their tithe to you. It's really not a gift as much as it's a decision to invest the first 10% of our income into your kingdom. So I thank you for that. I pray that you would bless the people who are doing that. You've already told us you would in your word. So I'm just standing on the recording at this point and asking you to fulfill what your word says. And I thank you that you are the true God who always keeps his promises. Thank you for provision of every kind flowing into the tithers today. In Jesus' name, amen. So next week we have a surprise for you. We're calling it Elder Chats because I thought it might be fun for you to hear from our elders. So next week, well, you know, remember how we had dad chats one time? That was fun. I think we had youth chats one time. So it's elder chat time now. So you'll get to know your elders a little bit more. You already know them pretty well, but you'll get to know them a little bit better. And I'm looking forward to hearing what they have to say. Can't wait to hear from them. Until then, enjoy some coffee and bagels and conversation out there. We have two more weeks to bring in items for foster care closet. Man, we're already running over. A lot came in today. We had to get a bin and put it under the table to collect a lot of what already came in. So keep it coming. Two more Sundays we have for that, okay? Have a great week. Love you guys. Those declarations are powerful, aren't they?
This is the day that the Lord has made. And I ain't gonna let it slip away. I'm gonna be joyful.